Logan, it's nice to sit down here with you, my friend. Do you remember when we met?
Yeah, we actually met. It's funny, I was in second grade, and you were a mentor.
I was trying to remember what grade you were in when that happened.
Really?
Second grade, dude. That's crazy. So, what was the I guess you wouldn't remember the program, because I can't really remember it. It was like student council or something.
Yeah.
And so I was like in high school, and you were in second grade. So that means, how old are you now?
24.
So I just turned 32 last week, or on Sunday actually, not even a week ago.
Happy birthday.
And thanks, dude. Yeah. When was your 10th. Birthday? Wow, that's so crazy. Yeah. Both Sagittarius, dude.
Yes, sir.
It's a good start for the first episode of a podcast. Two Sagittarius sitting down. I've just
drinking
recently.
Coffee.
Drinking coffee. I just recently got into. I didn't really get into it because I don't really believe it, but a few of my friends are now like astrology people.
Yeah.
Which I've always liked the moon a lot. You know, I like where the moon's at, what the moon's doing. I think it's cool to kind of keep up with that, but I don't believe in anything affecting, like, personality and stuff, really.
Yeah, I can see that. I think your personality depends on you as a person.
Yeah.
You know who Alan Watts is?
Yeah, dude.
So he said something.
I listen to the shit out of some
Alan Watts. Cannot define yourself. Trying to define yourself is like trying to bite your own teeth.
Oh, that's good. That's really good, man.
Yeah.
Alan, dude, Alan Watts has formed, I hope, as much of my psyche as, like, I wish he's formed, you know? I listen to him a bunch. Like, I got into it deep a few years ago. There's all those good mixes on YouTube of him, like, talking over Chill Step or whatever.
Yeah.
Just, like, hours and hours.
It's a lot of metal bands are also putting his stuff in
really?
Their songs, too. Like, if I could find a way to fit it, I would, but
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, how to fit like an old British guy's voice,
yeah.
An old crackly recording from the 70s in your shit. Yeah, dude, I'll hear it. Yeah, I'll hear it sampled in the middle of like EDM mixes all the time, just deep in there. I'm like, that's Alan Watts. If it's an old British guy, it's usually Alan Watts.
Yep.
But, all right, so one thing that caught my attention that I was like, okay, I've been wanting to get recording for a while with some local people like you who are doing stuff and making stuff. But one of the things that caught my attention was you posting about what happened to you, a week and a couple days ago now?
So, got into some stuff, you know, bad things in life, you know, struggles, we all have demons, right? So, I've been battling with some addiction issues and some other issues like that. And recently, you know, lost my life for a little bit, you know.
Holy shit, dude.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Lucky to be here, definitely.
Yeah,
I was not going down a good path at all. You know, I experienced some really bad trauma this year that kind of went unhealed for a little bit.
Yeah.
So, you know, it something I'm working through, but I've actually been, you know, sober off of anything, you know, that could really hurt me for going on like 9 days now.
Damn.
Yeah, so.
So fresh, dude. That's
yep.
Awesome, man. So you still smoke weed?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting.
I'm actually, so my doctor is trying to give me a medical card.
Mm-hmm.
I have a psychiatrist I see, and a lot of the other medications are not working. My anxiety is helped by the marijuana.
Yeah.
So I'm getting a medical card here soon.
Yeah, dude, it's so insane that for so long I smoked weed in Missouri when it was very illegal.
Yeah.
And now it's like medicine. It's
yep.
medicine in our state, man, you know.
Yep.
It's cool you found a doctor who gets that, because I do think there's some holdouts in the medical community. It seems
definitely.
Like some people don't want to really embrace it for whatever reason. I mean, it's unproven a little bit, and I get, like, it kind of feels like the kind of feels like back in the 40s and 50s whenever doctors used to prescribe cigarettes, you know?
Or cocaine.
Like, yeah, right. Yeah, cocaine way back, man. Which, like, cocaine, I think, is still used for nasal surgery or something.
Yeah, it is. It's
Schedule 2 or whatever, but yeah, I mean, yeah. I think the House just pushed through something for decriminalization, for, like, descheduling, I think.
Yep.
Descheduling
cannabis. So if you get pulled over with less than a certain amount, you won't get ticketed or charged with a felony.
That's nice.
And also, I don't know what your opinion on concealed carry is. I'm pretty left-wing, but as far as guns go, I'm pretty, like, open to whatever.
Yeah. So I think that's representative of a lot of young people in small towns.
Yeah, definitely.
You kind of want your guns.
Yeah. Yeah. Been robbed before.
Yeah. Yeah. Where have you been robbed at?
Austin.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you about that. We were talking about Austin a little bit before we started recording. So how much time did you spend down there? Have you, just kind of back and forth over the years?
3 years.
Oh, shit.
Just straight through, yeah.
Wow, dude. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. No, that was in Killeen, Harker Heights area for a year.
Well, is that near Austin?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was a bad experience.
Really?
Yeah.
Got pretty dark down there?
Yeah, it's a military base.
Oh, shit, dude.
So,
Yeah, well, were you in the military?
No. I was a level 4 security.
Oh, wow. On the military base.
Yes, sir.
That's crazy, dude.
Yeah, that was pretty rough.
You've lived a lot of life for being 24.
I have. I'm tired, man.
I bet, dude. I bet. Yeah, whenever I turned 25, that's when, like I realized my bones don't heal as fast. And, like every stupid little thing, yep, you know, just hurts, like, a little bit longer.
Yeah,
and
skateboarding, man.
Oh, shit, dude. Yeah, buy a longboard, dude. Just,
I need to.
Just buy a longboard. Just get out of the game.
I like going to carve in the park, though.
Dude, I've been wanting to buy. I've never inline skated, but I can kind of skate ramps on the skateboard. Like, I can drop in and ride ramps. I can't do a lot of tricks, but I've been wanting to buy some inline skates recently. I used to play a lot of hockey growing up, I'm a pretty good skater, but I can't fucking skate on a ramp with rollerblades on. It's like such a different.
Dude, yeah.
I go up it like straight legged and like.
I used to do it as a kid, dude. It
feels so weird.
I used to do it as a kid. That was so stupid.
Dude, I saw you posting about your old like skate park buddies recently. And you mentioned David Brand. David Brand and I did martial arts together for a few years. Did you do martial arts?
I did martial arts with him privately as a friend.
And wow,
I did,
dude.
Martial arts. Do you know where Destruction used to be?
Yeah. Yeah, over in the factory?
No, before that.
Okay.
So I used to do Muay Thai there,
jiu-jitsu. Oh, cool.
And then I had private jiu-jitsu lessons with a guy named Guy Helm. He owns where's that? Images. Unique Images or something like that.
Okay.
Downtown.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Yeah. Is that called Unique Image?
Unique Image.
Down the street.
Yeah.
The one that sells band tees and stuff.
Yeah.
Dude, they've been there for so long.
They have.
I bought an MXPX shirt from them in like 2004.
Wow.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, it's a while ago.
2004.
Yeah, it was so weird because I remember realizing they had band shirts, like,
yeah,
when they used to do shows at Bob's and stuff. Mm-hmm. You would have been really young when they did that shit.
Bobberinos.
Yeah, dude. It's funny how much of a legacy. Like, so I've seen Silverstein.
Plank Road Inn.
What? Plank Road Inn. Did they do shows there? You just
really
remember it. Yeah.
It was a
cool
place.
Oh, dude. Iconic. Super iconic. I didn't go there much. Like, a few times we went there, like, with my family on Sunday night here and there.
Yeah.
You get breakfast all day. It was like an old school diner, you know?
Yeah.
It was like our own local Cracker Barrel. I think. I don't really remember it well enough to say that, but.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude. So, but do you remember how well David Brand used to skateboard?
Dude.
He was so good, dude.
I hear he's still good. I'm going to go skate with him when he's off next.
Yeah.
I want to see that dude skate.
He just hit me up. He just got back from Indonesia not long ago.
Yeah, hit me up as well.
That's cool.
Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah, man. So you're in Austin. Is that, were you like, I don't know, you. Certainly, that's not where, like, addiction stuff started.
No, definitely not. There was, so for the whole time I was with my ex, I was completely sober.
Mm-hmm.
So that almost 4 years we were together.
Wow.
Completely sober. I actually got sober right before I met her, and everything was good. And
which then, is like what? You're like 20 at this time, or?
We got together when I just turned 20.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, but that whole experience was an experience. I'm not going to
talk go about deep that. Into that. Yeah. No. But I mean, dude.
That's kind of a lot of where my trauma stems from.
Yeah. Is
that stuff. So, but that kind of caused a spiral downward, and
like the end of that caused the spiral.
Yeah, the end of that. There's just some just messy up stuff that comes with it. So, but
yeah, messy shit, dude.
Life.
Life is messy, bro.
Yep.
Just gotta dude.
Roll with the punches.
You do. You do. It's super messy. I can remember you as a second grader with zero face tattoos. And, I mean, now look at you.
Covered, bro.
Covered, bro. Shit, dude. That is a sleeve.
Yeah.
I did not see that, man.
That's I got to finish this one. I mean, it's got all the parts. I just need to... I'm just going to black out the whole thing,
though. That's cool.
And then do white ink like I did
there. That's real cool, man. But, yeah, that's a big trend. Like, I mean, not like... Not it's not like
not trendy, around here,
but yeah, a lot of guys will black out and they do like the white on it, but and some will do their whole body and like that.
Yeah, the brutal. What is that? The brutal black project or
That's what I'm thinking of. I knew there was some hashtag or something.
So painful though,
dude. I was watching Cobra Kai the other night, and there's this one guy who's not very internet savvy, and he was like telling his students to post something. He's like, put one of those hash browns on it at the end. Hash brown Cobra Kai. Yeah, yeah. There's all kinds of hashtags.
That was me like 3 years ago. Just
getting onto the internet.
Interwebs.
What the fuck is this stuff?
No, I've been on there since MySpace days, but I still haven't figured it out.
Damn, dude. You would have been a young MySpacer.
I was.
I definitely remember MySpace. I remember sitting in a class at Mac, like, looking at my MySpace. I was a senior in high school, but I took one class at Mac. And our teacher was like, don't be on social media, you know, if they even called it that. I don't know what they called it back then. But my friend and I, friend requested our teacher on MySpace. Like, we found her on MySpace. Yeah. And she's like, really? While I was telling you guys not to be on my, you're friending me on MySpace.
Yeah.
Those were my rebellious days, dude. That was about as rebellious as I got, you know?
Yep.
Other than just not showing up for weeks at a time.
I feel that.
Yeah, right? Right?
Ah, memories.
Yeah. Did you graduate high school?
I did.
You did? Damn, dude. Nice.
And then
a guy with face tats might have graduated high school. Don't be so quick to judge, exactly. Folks.
And never been to prison.
Never been to prison?
Nope.
Whoa, dude, you are cracking stereotypes left and right.
And I am employed.
Wow. Yeah, your job sounds... It actually sounds like a really good job.
It's definitely a good job. I have weekends off.
I mean, it sounds boring. But
it's so
it sounds
boring.
Like a good job.
Weekends off, benefits, insurance.
Yeah. You know. How long have you been with them?
Gosh.
We won't say, but it's like a text.
Months. Yeah, it's a tech job.
Tech support type job.
Yeah, yeah.
A month? Only? Shit.
I've been there longer than a month. I just can't. Several months.
Yeah.
Almost, hold on. Since... I got hired in July.
Yeah.
So, and I started, I think, early August.
So, shit. So, you were like, so pandemic starts, you're still like deep in the shit.
Yeah.
Addiction wise and mental health wise.
No.
Or no.
During that time, I wasn't.
Okay, shit.
Addiction.
Yeah.
The,
kind of came roaring back.
Came roaring back within the last like month and a half or 2 months.
Shit.
So, that's been pretty fresh.
And you were balancing like, you were balancing a, would you call it like a heroin habit while you were still working, like every day, waking up, like?
Not like that. So basically I had friends. So like I prescribed a Xanax type of pill, and I'd have friends, you know, like, oh yeah, you have this kind of Xanax, you know, I'll trade you for this and blah, blah. So I would get fentanyl.
Mm-hmm.
Laced Xanax or whatever was in that Xanax, and take that, and then I was maintaining that way, and also, you know, just kind of taking my own prescription a little too much, and it wasn't even a way to, like, I was just suicidal. I was just like, just I didn't want to be here.
Yeah,
like I was done, tired of everything, and So it was less, you know, this time addiction is more, I guess, an addiction to self-destruction.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, you're more, just trying to, like, run the train off the tracks.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like, and then dying, you know, made that more real, I guess. But it was like, now I'm not scared of death. Like,
so did you get Narcan'd?
I did.
Wow, dude. Yeah. What, injection?
No, nasal.
Nasal, wow, dude. I've heard nasal's not, like, as guaranteed or...
No, dude,
wow.
I'm really fucking lucky.
Damn, dude. Did a friend...
Nah.
It was, like, EMS or whatever?
Yeah.
Wow, dude.
Yeah.
That's insane, bro.
Yeah, dude. It was kind of an experience. It was pretty traumatic.
Yeah.
Like, in a way, that part of it. And I also got sprayed with what are they called? What is that called? A fire thingy.
Like
a fire
extinguisher?
Yeah, dude, to keep me awake because I kept nodding back out. And they're like, no, we need you with me. Dude, that hurt. I don't know what is up with the fire extinguisher.
Yeah.
That shit, I don't know if it's cold
it's,
or what.
I think it is.
It hurts.
I think it's cold. Like, I think there's something cold in there, the chemical
I just
or whatever.
Felt tingly, bro.
Wow. They're just, like, burning you to keep you awake.
Yeah, dude. I'm pretty sure, like, they were just being assholes. Dude.
Yeah.
Like, who does that?
Yeah, right? I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, you can't nod, right, when they're doing that, but seems like, I don't know. I'd rather get smacked in the face, I think, than shot with a fire extinguisher.
Same.
Right?
Oh, God, don't get me started on getting smacked in the face.
I'm sure you have a few stories, dude.
Dude, people are wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, shit. So, that's crazy, man. So, did you wake up the next day and do your job?
I did.
What the fuck, man? What the fuck? That's the part that was so perplexing when I kind of figured that after we started talking. I was like, dude, we got to talk about this. I mean,
bro, I am so, like, I need time to cope, but my job does not give that. That's one thing that sucks. And then I'm working on music with a band on my days off. And some of my days off, I'm still going to work, you know, working overtime. I work from home now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not on site, so.
Had you ever been on site?
Yeah.
Oh, really? When you started, like, a few months ago?
Actually, all the way up until, like, 2 weeks ago.
God damn. Right in the heart of the pandemic. It's like, come on in and answer.
It wasn't bad because it's mandatory to wear masks. All the seats are 6 feet apart.
Yeah.
Everyone pretty much respects that. They respect each other. They stay away from each other. So
it's
nice.
It's not like anybody wants to talk to anybody else.
Yeah. I just don't want to be in an office or in a cubicle, though. I want to be home, like, you know, sipping tea.
Yeah, right? No, for real. I think that's, like, most of America now, dude. Everyone's like, fuck, my job can be done from home. Why would I ever go back to the office?
Exactly.
I think a lot of big companies are like, why do we want to heat and air condition and provide bathrooms and all this shit for a bunch of people that could sit at home? We'll give them a $40 stipend a month or whatever to... They probably won't do that for you.
No. Man, but making the bonuses, they raise that bar so you can't hit that bonus every time.
Yeah.
So
just a cog in a wheel, man.
Yeah, dude.
It's good, dude. It's good to have something that's generating, that's like giving you that sense of...
Yeah. And then I am still doing audio on the side, but I'm so burned out on that, you know.
Yeah, talk about that.
So I did that for... My whole relationship pretty much did audio, dude. And
was she in that world?
What do you mean?
Like the music world?
She was a tattoo artist.
Wow, okay. So kind of, overlaps for sure.
Well, we were making so much money, dude, in Austin especially.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh.
So how were you doing it? Did you have like a...
Audio. That was it.
Did you have an LLC set up or were you...
LLC, tax, everything. So things work a little bit different in Texas. So you file through the state of Texas. There are no... what is it? State taxes, but there are...
that's right, yeah.
There are federal taxes, so you put a 1099 in on yourself, and then you put the LLC on your business.
Yeah.
You know, separate your pay from your business.
Yeah.
And the expenses, so you're not, you know... You know, it's...
That's pretty smart, dude.
So...
Yeah.
That's how I run a band, too.
Yeah.
So...
You set up an LLC for the band?
Not yet.
Yeah.
So, I was an idiot and sold our old page for this dude to use the followers on it.
Uh-huh.
So now we have to start from scratch.
Did you get much out of it? Like a grand or something?
Yeah, but no, it was like $400.
Yeah, that's not bad, dude.
Yeah.
For how many followers?
Like 3,000.
Wow.
So, yeah.
But they were probably...
I grew them. They were organic.
His niche, like what he was looking for.
Yep.
Did he change the name and everything
on
the page?
Yeah. So I still have my name. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's nice.
I'm thinking about changing that too, but I don't want to...
Is it your band particularly?
Yes.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So do you know Rob Grounds?
No, but I want to say that somebody just tried to friend me on Facebook with that name, maybe, potentially.
Probably, yeah. He's pretty cool.
Okay, is he from Ironton?
Don't know. Okay. He's from he lives here in Farmington.
Okay. Yeah. Is he in your band?
Yes, yeah.
Cool.
He's in a band called It Comes in Waves.
Yeah, yeah.
They're pretty cool.
Dude, okay, there's another dude who's in that band who's a mailman.
Who's a what?
Who's a mailman.
Really?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. Let me think about it. I forget his name, but we talked to him a bunch. He wanted to do an It Comes in Waves show at the end, because they were planning a big tour that went up through this January, this past January. And at the end of that tour in like early February, he wanted to do a show at Cool Jack.
Yeah.
So I talked to him a bunch. I can't remember. I think he knew some of the other bands that we had play at Cool Jack last year, which we haven't really done any this year. But yeah. And we, so Cool Jack used to be Bauhaus. Bauhaus used to do shows.
Yeah.
Bauhaus is right next door to where the Barberino's building used to be, which is now taken down. The building's taken down. But
I saw that and I was so weirded out.
Yeah, it's super weird, dude. It's super weird. But like I started to tell you before we were recording, there's been some huge bands, like back in 2004, 2005, Taking Back Sunday, Fall Out Boy. I think it must have been 2003, 2004 when those bands played. I think Taking Back Sunday, Fall Out Boy,
they came to Farmington?
Silverstein played here.
Whoa.
Yeah. Man. Yeah.
So I worked in the got to do some work in a studio that Fall Out Boy did a single.
No kidding. Of. Yeah, that's pretty cool. So which single do you know?
It's one on Pro Skater. I cannot.
Oh, I can't remember what that
was.
No, because that was by the time I was like Fall Out Boy, there was one album that came out. It was the one that I think had Thanks for the Memories on
Fever,
it.
Fever, you can't. No, that's I just hold on. That's gonna kill me. I'm gonna look it up. If I just mix two bands, which I think I did, I always
Which was the other band?
Hold on. I'm gonna feel really dumb. And you can't. I'm gonna let you not edit that out.
I'm keeping it. It's all standing. So far, I'm keeping everything.
No, it is Fall Out Boy. Okay, I don't feel so dumb.
What were you thinking?
A Fever You Can't Sweat Out. Or wait. No, hold on.
Is that a song?
Never mind. It's by Panic at the Disco.
I have a
confession. I don't listen to Panic at the Disco or Fall Out Boy.
Dude, I certainly haven't in quite a long time listened to Fall Out Boy. I really don't like Panic at the Disco. Really don't like that band. But, you know. There are people out there who like them. There's people out there with tattoos of that band's lyrics on their body.
I know some people.
I know a few myself, dude. I know a few special people.
Hey, we're not shaming you guys.
No, not at all, man. You
like what you like.
You like what you like. And honestly, like, I have found shit profound that is assuredly not more profound than Panic at the Disco. Oh, so.
I am profound.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, exactly, dude. Exactly.
I'm a walking... what's the word?
Conundrum? Enigma?
Maybe anomaly?
Anomaly.
Yeah.
That
alien.
That word's too, yeah.
Alien.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we might all be aliens, man.
Where we are.
In a way, for sure. Do you think we'll ever make it to Mars?
I don't know, dude.
Yeah, I mean,
I really hope.
Like you,
I want to go.
Yeah, I would like to go. I think.
I used to want to be an astronaut so bad.
Seriously, man.
I did, yeah. But I don't know why. I just don't have interest in that anymore.
Yeah, it seems very mathy to me.
Yeah, I hate math.
Yeah, you know.
I'm good at math. Very good at math.
Yeah.
But I hate math.
Yeah, that's kind of how I was.
Numbers and budgeting, too. Very good at that.
Really?
Yeah, so.
That's interesting, man. Yep. Do you have to do that with your job, I guess, to some extent?
Some extent, a little bit. It's very simple math.
Dealing with people's issues.
Yeah, they're simple stuff, but you have to explain to these people like a third grader.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really exhausting.
How was the... okay, so pandemic starts, which was like 9 months ago or something. I don't know how many months ago it was.
Yeah.
Are you employed when it all breaks out?
So I went back to being a guard during the pandemic. So
at the military base.
Yeah, so all studio work came to a halt.
Yeah,
Like, I kind of panicked. I'm like, what am I going to do? And this dude hit me up. He's like, hey, we need guards.
Mm-hmm.
And so, dude, it was crazy. Like, there was one time.
I can't believe the military base doesn't have military guards.
They do have military guards. But they also hire people with certain, I can't really talk too much, but certain clearance that get to go on base. and do certain things. Someone actually taught me a term. It's called POG, personnel other than grunt.
Okay, so, wow.
It's like a private, you know, military.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a lot of messed up stuff happened there, though. Like, I'm sure you heard about that Vanessa girl that they, like, dismembered her, put her in a...
Was that a base?
On that base, that base.
It was on the base that you were working on.
Yeah. And my ex's father is the detective investigating that case.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
That's insane, dude. I did hear about that. That's, like, national news.
Yeah. Wow. There was stuff like that all the time that didn't make it to the news. That was just something that... Like, every day there was stuff. Like, they're literally out back of where, one of the places I worked before the pandemic. There was literally a body found in the trash can. We smelled it, and we're like, what is that smell? And then, like, a couple days later, like, oh, yeah, by the way, there's a body in that trash can.
Good Lord,
dude. Trash can I use every day, 7 days a week. So, like...
That wasn't a very thorough investigation you did. What is that smell? A few days later, they found a body. It was a body, Logan. Bro, the smell was a body.
I thought it was an animal that had
Good
died,
Lord,
dude.
Good Lord, man. That's chilling. That's
it is,
so
dude.
Chilling.
It's like... And then one of our buddies, dude, shot himself out there, too. Right in front of his new wife.
Oh,
he had just
gosh.
Had like, such terrible luck, dude. Like, I fell for him. Like, felt for him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, dude. That place was just hell on earth.
It sounds like it, man. So, what can you talk about the military base? What kind of military base is it? Just like an army? Yeah. Like just,
they do a lot of...
So is there people live on the base?
Yeah.
Like
there's
communities and family, you know.
Yeah, it's huge.
Neighborhoods and
yep.
It's like a square miles, multiple. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah. It goes like three towns, and Texas towns are huge and spread out, so...
It's a huge,
huge
base.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which comes with a lot of crime, murder. You have cartel there. You have Bloods there.
Wow.
You have some crazy shit there. Like, people are trafficking people, drugs. You have...
Like, and so the people living on the base, some are military, some obviously are
left behind. Yeah, some are left behind military or married a spouse so they could be on base.
Wow.
And then their spouse might have left them or divorced them.
And they can
stay behind.
Stay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or people who came from Hurricane Katrina to that area, their families were military, so they got, you know, the military was like, yeah, you can come live. And then the military got shipped out, but the family couldn't go. So you get stuck.
Wow.
And they get booted off the military base and out in the streets, and they have nowhere to go.
God.
So the only way they can come up is, you know, killing or whatever they have to do.
So
to
they're
survive.
Still
they're
on
just
the
to survive.
Base.
Yeah.
And so getting on the base isn't like a big deal.
It is a pretty big
there's
deal.
There's gates and shit
gates,
all around it.
Yeah.
Wow.
People try to break in all the time or try to just rush in or... do all kinds of stuff, or they sneak people in.
Why do they want to get in?
Drugs, sell drugs. A lot of our soldiers, you know, do a lot of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
I can't really talk about that.
Yeah.
So there's a problem with a lot of stuff, you know.
Yeah. It's a shitty job, it seems like.
It's
tough.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't like some of the laws that are defended, you know what I mean?
Oh, for sure, man. For sure. No, I have a lot of trouble. Well, I just think, like, I have kind of a harm reduction perspective, which is why I'm, like, I'm really glad we're having this conversation, but I'm also, like, kind of tiptoeing because I don't really know how harm reduction, you know, I follow a few people on Twitter who advocate for harm reduction I associate it with more openness to... different approaches to drug policy.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
So for instance, legalizing drugs or giving heroin addicts a safe confine.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
It's a really tough, yeah. So I don't know how it works and how it applies. I know there's experiments being done, like Oregon this year just
legalized.
It
sounds like a good idea, but as someone who has struggled or, you know, is suicidal or other people are suicidal, which Oregon is legalizing or has legalized assisted suicide, right? I'm pretty sure.
I don't know that that's gotten through yet.
Or was it Washington? I know Washington, one of the states over there did.
Some of them have tried, but I don't know. I think it might... I'm not really sure. But it might get short-circuited at, like, a legal level.
Yeah.
Of them just saying, like, no, we're not going to allow this. But...
Yeah.
Or it's like, here's your meds, you can go. But I don't know that there's any doctor out there who's like, yeah, I'm knowingly giving a fatal dose of this thing. Like, I don't think that's heavy shit, dude. That's so heavy.
How would you cope with that?
That's so heavy. I mean, like, say you have like a, you know, somebody who's dealing with like a really terrible, painful illness, and they're your family member, and they say like, I want to, you know, I really want to end it. Like, I'm clear, I'm coherent, but I'm in so much pain, I want to get out of this body. Like, that gets to such an insane level.
I felt, you know, mental illness like that, you know, where I just like, I don't want to, that's where I was when I was going back to that, you know. Like, that's a big part of it, especially growing up in a small town.
So how long did you get back into it before you OD'd? Were you on?
Like a month.
A month, wow. A month and a half. And like, so you've been on it in the past. Like
I struggled through the past few months, but, you know, a lot of it's alcohol and stuff like that as well mixed in there with all of that. So that was a big, big, big part of that as well. But one thing at a time, I still have a drink here and there.
Yeah.
Know, so I'm not completely out of the, you know,
loop. Right.
Yet, but.
Yeah. It's weird how in my mind, how alcohol is sort of on par with like one of these like it can contribute to a serious breakdown, like health mentally issues, and health. What's crazy is like alcohol is super legal. Like if you're 21, go get you some, you know. Whereas like cannabis is insanely restricted and seems like for a lot of people it's going to help them. I think for some people it might suspend them in an inebriated state that just makes them potentially crave the deep intoxication. I'm sure some people spiral with it.
Yeah.
But it seems like a pretty healthy substance for somebody. And like, is that common in that? I mean, have you had friends? Certainly you've had friends who've OD'd as well.
I have, but I wouldn't say that marijuana was a gateway drug. I'd say trauma, definitely. Like, I know people who hated weed, but do hard drugs now.
Yeah.
And I know people who loved weed who do hard drugs now. I know people who've never done weed at all, who've drank, and that led them. You know, trauma is really the, people are either trying to escape from themselves or boredom, or they don't want to be here, or different things, and they get caught in that.
So you've lived in Austin, like, compare like the, are addicts the same in a big city, in a small town? I would think not, because of availability type issues. Like in a small town, you have to know a different set of people than maybe in the city, or.
It's really bad in the city, actually.
Mm.
So your friends here are addicts because it's a small town. You know, you, because everybody does drugs around here because they're bored.
Yeah.
Or they're falling apart, you know, where a lot of people are below poverty, you know, and they're trying to escape that working, like me, you know, working all the time, trying to escape that.
You're just shoveling.
Yeah. Paying debts, things like that. So it, yeah, that's a big part of it too. But in the city, you know, the drug addicts, every single one of them are homeless. Like they're all homeless.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's sad. It's a sad thing to see.
Like, that's just more your like stereotypical junkie on the street, like just looking sort of for the next hit. Whereas in small towns, the junkies still have a place to go. Yep. They still have a network of friends, some family.
A lot of those people there came from other places, didn't have any family, failed. You know, they had high hopes, dreams, and they didn't make it. So they started you know, the substances.
I mean, do you know, is there anybody you're thinking of when you say that? Like
high hopes, dreams? There's a lot of, not really.
I mean, you were in the music industry, so certainly some folks that just missed the mark or couldn't find a footing in the music. Or in the production world or whatever.
Definitely. I feel that way with myself a lot of times. You know, I have some gold, but a lot of times finding your niche in that industry is pretty rough.
Yeah.
I recorded a lot of rap in Austin.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, or pop, or things like that, or various things that I don't even necessarily openly promote or put out, because it's not my best work. It's not what I want to be known for.
It's like, not my brand. Do rock
or metal. You know? So I won't advertise what I do well at because I want to push the envelope more.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, a lot of people are familiar with some of my work. It's pretty, pretty decent.
Yeah.
But I have a unique ear to things. So.
Yeah, dude.
I'm still doing audio work on the side here when I, kind of overloading myself.
Yeah.
I've actually
been writing songs for people. That's not a bad thing. Coming out of an overdose, it's probably a good thing. Keep really busy with projects.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of stuff are you working on now?
Radio rock, new metal, EDM, kind of blending with all of that. And then there's like some dad rock in there too.
Yeah.
Some stuff kind of like CKY as well.
Cool. In there. Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's not really my thing. I'm just kind of this guy, Rob. He's, you know, doing all the stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of just there, and he's getting my opinion. And also, you know, we're trying to build up, you know, recording clients here in town, but we want reliable clients as well.
Yeah.
So that's why as soon as...
You know who's reliable is like those old praise bands at churches and
that
stuff.
That is true. That is true.
You need to tap into that. They'd love your face tattoos.
Oh, yeah.
you'd be a huge sell among them, dude.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I'm trying to save this young man. This young man. Yeah, dude, that's true. You could appeal to that. You have to feed it just enough. Like, oh, I am curious. What was that you were saying about the apocalypse coming? Like,
Doomer.
Yeah, right? Dude, I went to this church recently. I sort of had ulterior motives for going that had to, it doesn't really matter. It's not like I was like, they weren't like ulterior. Like I wasn't trying to sleep with anybody at this church or whatever. It was just like, but I showed up and I was just kind of like trying to be a fly on the wall. I was trying to be a fly on the wall, dude. And the apocalypse like talk really fired up. And, I just remember, I remember being so caught off guard. I thought like, I'm going to go and hear some Bible stories. I grew up in the church. I studied theology for a while and worked for churches and stuff, but I hadn't been in a really long time, and I went there just expecting Bible stories, and it was like, and Jesus is coming back and is gonna, you know, some of us are gonna be here and others of us are gonna be raptured, and it's just like, wow, that's so trippy, dude. For people who don't do drugs, they've got some trippy stories, some of those.
So, like, the people who wrote it, though, might have
them. Dude, but, I mean, for sure. Oh, yeah, for sure. No, you might be onto something there. The Book of Revelation is very, very intense. Dude. But what's crazy is how much of these stories are, like 200 years old. Like, like, the rapture and apocalypse stuff, that's, like, a lot of it is very American, which means it's, like, pretty young. Because, like, in terms of how old religions can be, America's like really young. Yeah. Most religions are older than America, but America invented a bunch of religions, like Mormonism, Pentecostalism, like a bunch of different threads.
Wait, no, Quakers
England. Probably wasn't. Was it England? Yeah,
I don't remember.
Yeah, they might have come
escaping,
over.
Escaping, like trying to find religious freedom or something.
Was that the? That might have been. Yeah, I don't know.
I forget my history, dude.
Yeah, we don't know history.
Drunk history.
This isn't Jake a history podcast, right? Yeah. Idiot history. Yeah, this is not a history podcast. This is
Columbus.
Yeah, fuck you, Christopher Columbus. Dude, I. Speaking of fuck Christopher Columbus.
Or I probably can't say what I want to say on the air.
About Christopher Columbus?
Yeah.
What do you want to say about Christopher Columbus on air? How do you have such intense feelings for him? That's what I was going to say.
Well, you see, back in grade school, he was my father.
Really?
No.
Chris Columbo himself,
I'm actually 500 years old.
You feel directly traumatized by Christopher Columbus's... Do you have any Native American blood in you?
I do a little bit.
You do? Yeah. Most of us do. I've got some Cherokee, I'm told, through my mom's dad was supposedly had some Cherokee.
You can see it in my grandpa. And then
really?
I'm Jewish and Italian and Irish, so.
Dude, you are like a melting pot of...
culture that all hates tattoos.
Yeah, yeah, they, most of them do, yeah. Yeah, I'm a quarter Italian. That's the one thing that I think I know I'm the most of. I'm like a quarter Sicilian.
My nose is Jewish.
Really, you got a Jewish nose?
Yeah.
I was going to say Jew nose, but I really don't think I should say that on the on the podcast, you know.
I think you're good.
You think so? I mean, coming from a Jewish guy, I guess you can.
I said it, not you.
Yeah, that's fair. Fair point, dude. I just used that shortened phrase that I feel like is probably offensive.
No. Jewish.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, it's Jews.
All right. Well, I guess I'm getting away with it, dude. I might get canceled on the first damn podcast. That'd be...
canceled.
That'd be...
in cancel culture, though. Johnny Depp, man. That dude almost had his career ended by things, allegations that ended up false.
And that chick, she beat the shit out of him, right? Like, yeah. That's kind of how that went down?
Bro, I'm telling you, like, that's stuff that scares me.
Cancel culture stuff scares you?
Yeah.
Why?
Just because, like, stuff like that, like, people do not, you know, believe you in this day and age. Especially women, you know, a lot of women are not believed on certain things a lot of times. And it's really terrifying, dude. Like, our culture, like, I don't know if we can talk about this, but stuff like rape culture, you know, in a small town, you see a lot of it. Like, I was going out with my friend, when we were going to Cape, dude, you wouldn't imagine how many dudes really do grab up on girls and do stuff like that.
Like at a bar? Or like,
at a bar, yeah, dude. Like, I've got, like, I won't talk about it because I could get in legal trouble. But, yeah, that for dude, what? It's not going to do that again.
Oh, because you beat the shit out of him or something?
No, well, almost.
Yeah.
Almost. But he ended up, dude, he's just got some problems. Dude.
Yeah.
But we had, like, five dudes there with us trying to break this up. And, like, I was ready to go, bro. Like... yeah. I just don't mess with that. Like,
yeah.
At all.
Yeah, it's rare that you find yourself in like a situation where like the chivalry is so clean cut too. You might as well like take advantage of it, you know? It's like if I can stand up for somebody and like not and know that I'm in the right. Like those situations are not.
Yeah, the cops get called and they ask you your side and you tell them and they're like, "Okay, you're good to go."
Yeah. Yeah, like, exactly.
They don't care.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's insane. So talk about your so one of my like ongoing things is I have trouble with law enforcement. not like not across the board, you know, but like but I have, well, one, like, I think the war on drugs is such a colossal fucking failure, and I think that, like,
it's ridiculous.
I think that most law enforcement funding for a long time, and I could probably be proven wrong if somebody just showed me the numbers, but the sense I get is that a lot of law enforcement resources get dumped into
that and just systematic racism, dude.
Yeah,
I've seen that firsthand. Like, you, all that stuff. I don't even start on law enforcement.
Yeah, well, like in
I can't stand law enforcement.
Really?
I have this kid that here in town that's been messing with me that I went to school with.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think I had a friend who was pulled over, I think, by the same guy.
Blonde.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, he pulled him over not long ago. He was leaving my place.
My plate was too crinkled up. My temp tag.
Really?
Was too crinkled up.
Yeah.
I couldn't see it.
He pulled over my buddy for having no license plate light on his car.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I was like, dude, give me a break. Like,
oh, shit.
I think we're good.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, you have lights on your car that can illuminate anyone's license plate if you follow them and want to fuck with them, but he wants to get the stop, he wants to be able to put it in his system because whatever, somebody's tracking his quota, somebody's seeing how many people he's pulling over. It was late at night, and I think
I was on my way back from work.
Yeah,
I hadn't done anything, dude. And right after that I hit a deer and I was completely sober.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I completely sober, you know, it's fine. He pulled me over. And then I get on the way, like, start driving down F Highway, and I'm going, like, slower. I drive, like, bad out of hell, because in Texas, the speed limits are, like, 90.
Really?
Yeah, here, they're slow. So I'm going 90 down F Highway usually. Well, this one night, I'm like, I'm going to go 30 tonight. I just have a feeling I need to go slow.
Yeah.
Still hit this fucking deer.
Wow.
Right after getting pulled over.
Dude, I smashed a deer a few years ago, before I actually, like, damn, I can't remember. I think I did end up replacing my radiator. But, like, 6 months later, my car was parked, like, right outside there. And this security guard, he was a prison guard, was coming off of, like, a 16-hour shift, fell asleep at the wheel. Yeah, so he's smashing my car.
Actually,
dude.
Edit that out. I don't want to put his name in there.
Yeah, I will. No, I was driving up. No, I was walking up to the scene, like right after he had smashed into it, and I just looked like a normal guy walking up. They didn't know that it was my car that he had smashed into, which like I didn't initially realize that he had smashed into my car. Dude. I like ran around the block and I saw like the glass everywhere, and his car was like he had hit this trash can, so his car like elevated and he like smashed. It kind of landed like weirdly like totaled. His like totaled my car for sure. My car was like newish, you know. I think I paid like 14 grand for it or something a couple years before this, so like it was, you know, but yeah, just destroyed the thing. I was really lucky because the front part of my car was fucked up from the deer, so it was like he totaled it by smashing into the back. I was like, sweet.
That's so unfortunate.
Yeah, yeah. It worked out for me, but dude, this dude, yeah, so I come walking up and his another dude is in a uniform, like kind of like pulling him out of the car and like waking him up and stuff, and the other dude says to him as I'm walking up, like, did you do any meth? Do you have any meth on you? And I was like, holy shit, this is one like prison guard to another one. At first I thought it was a cop. Like I was like, how did the police get here? That like, cause I heard the impact from my window, you know. I was like, what the fuck? But anyway, it was a crazy fucking story. But I pulled my camera out and started recording because I was like, what the fuck else is this guy going to say? If he's like, starts out with, are you on meth right now, dude? I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah, shit, I don't know. What else do you want to talk about?
I mean, we can talk about music, I guess.
Yeah, keep going.
So I could send you the files when you put it in there if you want.
Oh, that'd be sick. Yeah, a little demo. That'd be badass, dude. Yeah.
So I have some new music coming out. I'm going to... first of all, the industry always looks down on you releasing like demos or whatever, or showing the world demos, but I don't give a shit. I'm not doing music for everyone else. I'm doing it for me.
Yeah.
So if people want to hear, you know, these demos, then they're going to hear
it. So like the industry's saying, leave it, hype it up, like...
Hype it up and then release it as you... Like, release it when it's finished, you know, release when there's a music video, which is good. That's correct. And I'm doing all of that. I'm going to do a music video. We're going to release a final, which is going to be way better than the demo. But, you know, I don't care. Like,
yeah, no, I think that's the right attitude, man. Like, because I think it's every man for himself anymore.
Yeah,
like, I don't think following the rules is really going to get you super.
You can't follow the rules. I mean, the rules were meant to be broken, and people set these ridiculous rules into place. Like, you got to do this if you don't want to stay late, local. You got to do this. You have to play shows locally. You have to do this, which you want to build a following everywhere you go, small following, and that's how it grows. You need that intimate little... That's why I think times are really hard without touring right now.
Yeah.
Because you want to, you know, meet people.
Yeah, how do you connect? Intimate,
but how do you connect?
You know? You got to get that, like, first batch, those, like, early adopters for your band, you know? Yeah. And how are you getting them if you don't have a human connection? Like,
exactly.
Facebook advertising? Hey, come check out my project on
Facebook. No one's going to check that out, dude.
Yeah.
If it's something funny, though, and people are sharing it and like, wow, this is hilarious, you know?
No, I found a few artists, like Twitter accounts or whatever. They'll share like a funny what a lot of guys are doing TikToks now. So they'll do some stupid TikTok.
Yep.
And then I'll click on their, you know, thing and it'll be like, oh, shit, this guy's like a drummer in this band over here or whatever. Yep. So, I mean, it's like it's so funny because I remember the bands coming up back in the day, and it's like, on one hand, some of those bands would have done so well if all five of them had their own sort of platforms, and then you had the collective platform, and they were all sort of synergized and, you know, cross-promoting each other and everything. I think, like, on one hand, yeah, that'd be a really good thing. On the other hand, I think, like, there are just some bands where, like, the guys, like, maybe didn't have that much charisma, like, between all, you know, so they wouldn't have produced really great content organically on their own. It would have just kind of, like, done its thing or...
I think the biggest thing is chemistry with all the people you're surrounding yourself in. Like, you can't... You can have completely different backgrounds, views, whatever, but you can always have, like, your band, so should be chemistry with. Like, you should all be best bros in a way, you know? Like, that's how you get...
Yeah, like the fraternity, like that.
Yeah, and honestly, the biggest thing is also don't let people censor you. People tell you what you can and can't write about.
Mm-hmm.
Like the song that I'm going to show you is literally, you know, it's about a relationship ending traumatically, and it's also about addiction and heroin and things, and love being addicting like heroin, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's the thing that people told me don't write, you know, people have written a million songs about that, or you can't say heroin because it can't be here. It's not a positive message. It can't be this place. It can't be. It's like, who gives a fuck? I didn't write music for you. I wrote it to get it out of me.
So
I can heal. Like, that's, you know, and it's a, music is a communication. You never know who you might be helping. So someone might, the lyrics might be simplistic or whatever, but if it resonates with somebody and it makes a difference, it makes them feel less alone.
Yeah.
Even if they're not experiencing exactly what you're feeling, they experience, you know, pain or whatever.
Right.
They're going to, you know, resonate with that. That might save a life or that.
Yeah.
People say, like, make jokes. Oh, this song saved my life. This music saved my life. But music really does save
it. It does. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it. I wouldn't be alive
if it weren't. Yeah. Honestly. Yeah.
Honestly.
No, dude. And I think you're hitting on something, too. Like, people can sniff out bullshit so much faster.
Than authenticity.
Yeah, and authenticity. No, I think that's huge. I think it's huge in the internet age when we have, like, you know, you have so much data on any person, whether you've met them or not.
Yep.
You can pull up their Facebook, you can pull up their whatever, and just get such a deep dive. It's like, if you're going to write about superficial shit, what, you know, when you can go so deep. But no.
Use it as a philosophy, like, as a philosophical thing, or... your experiences, because you might help someone, you know, like, going through the trauma you're going through, and if people watch you grow through that, that might give them hope, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
That's a way to use it, or, you know, finding yourself, just being you, you know? For a long time, like, I just wasn't allowed to be me. That was a big thing.
Yeah.
And so that's one thing I'm doing, and it's actually pissing a lot of people off, and you know that you're on the right track when you're pissing people
off.
It's
true, man.
Dude, so... I mean, a lot of people are like, oh, Logan, you've changed. No, I just been repressing myself for so long that, you know, I couldn't. I'm me. Like, this is me. Here I am.
World. Dude, yeah.
Like, if you don't like it or you think that it's something that's not cool, fuck you. Like, I don't care.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dude, Bruce Lee, I love this quote. He talks about, it's kind of simplistic, but he says, like, martial arts is the expression of the human body. So it's just like the most simple, and then it's sort of like if you want to punch, you punch. If you want to kick, you kick. Like, you just do what you want to do.
Yep.
And it's kind of like this sense of aligning your, like, soul and your will with your actions.
Yep.
And it's like, I think that's kind of like, that's what Alan Watts, did we talk about that on the podcast or was that right? I think it was right before we started recording, maybe.
No, we got it.
It was on here? Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. So, like, Alan Watts, like, I think it's like that sort of alignment, that harmony between, like, your will and your actions.
Your actions, yeah. Yeah, that's
and
a big
thing. It's super offensive to people, man. Like, it's really offensive. It's, to put anything out there is honestly, I mean, that's why I think art is... art, if it's not inherently offensive, it might not be art at all.
Exactly.
Like, its existence is a little bit offensive in that it's in your face, you know? Yep. It's challenging you. Like, that is offensive.
Yep.
It's weird because, like, when you're making it, it sometimes feels, like, reactive and defensive. Like, I have to get this out because I have to build, like, you know, a new way of thinking about this, and I need the music and the words, and, you know, I need my lyrics in my song to be expressing this, like, and so I feel like it feels like therapy, which seems like a more defensive thing than, like, how, especially metal. I mean, you're in the metal world, so that's what you write mainly is metal.
I would call it more rock. The song I'm going to show you is a little more soft, I guess. I mean, it's hard, but even there's some screaming in it, but it's not really screaming. It's melodic. It's a type of singing.
I mean,
just gritty Fry screaming with singing at the same time, like Linkin Park type.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah, dude, that's so funny.
Yeah.
You know why? Because this week, Linkin Park song came on the radio. It wasn't Crawling, but it was one of them from their first album. I can't remember. It was probably they all sounded
in
the same.
No, I mean, that's Minutes to Midnight. That's way.
It's a little bit, yeah.
Meteora or Hybrid Theory?
I think it was Hybrid Theory.
Hybrid Theory.
Yeah. It was, yeah. But anyway, I was driving in the car and I said to the person I was driving with, I was like, yo, like, I did not expect, when I heard Linkin Park come out, Linkin Park was the first burned CD anybody ever gave me. One of my buddies burned it for me and gave it to me, and I was like, dude, what even is this? I didn't even know what a burned CD was, you know?
I had an MP3 player this dude gave me, and, like, loaded every song from like LimeWire.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I feel so shitty about that. I buy music now.
Really? Yeah. I don't. I mean, you're in the industry, so you kind of have to, but yeah. I in this day and age, well, I mean, it's all streams now, right?
Yeah, so. I still buy the album though on iTunes.
I think that's dumb as hell, but I respect your decision to do
that. Hey man, it puts money in these dudes' pockets,
you know? I guess so, yeah. I mean, theoretically, the streams kind of do, but every very artist low is you get like fucked over.
0.15 cent per
listen.
I think for 1,000.
Oh my
I
don't God. Know.
I can't remember. That's it's so some bad. Crazy it's, low. Yeah. Like you can make like $4,000 off of 1,000,000 streams.
Oh my gosh.
Something like that. It's like ooh. And yeah. Years ago, you know, you sold music. You people bought on iTunes. You
yeah.
made millions.
Yeah.
Or at straight least in, you yeah. paid your debt off that you. Paid yeah. for the album.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, people don't understand it's expensive to make shit sound good.
Yeah, a lot of bands will spend like $30,000 on 8 songs, just yeah. production and mixing.
That seems so stupid these mastering. Days, dude. Like, don't even... I mean, you're in the industry, so you're going to feel differently. But I would say, don't even fuck with that. Like...
It's just, still worth it, though, if you want to make it.
Yeah, but it'd be better just to get the fucking audio engineers in your band so that you don't have to pay... $30,000 every time. Just let them play the fucking...
That's what we do. I mean, that's yeah. what all of us you are just doing.
Scoop everybody
there's
up.
There's just and something about a really good engineer like, you yeah. know, David... Well, not... Hold on. Edit that. Don't say David. Dan Corneff, dude. So that's a producer that I happen to know decently. Yeah. We're acquainted. So I actually beta test for his plugin company. He did Breaking Benjamin, Papa Roach,
wow,
Paramore...
Good Lord.
He did a My Chemical Romance, something for them, I can't remember yeah. what. The Devil Wears Prada, you know.
Good Lord.
Pierce the Veil, Sleeping with Sirens.
I like Devil Wears Prada a lot, dude.
Dude, he did a Space EP and the little Sailor's Prayer before that. Mm. I can't remember all their stuff. And then his assistant, Alex, who does the audio for Bob's Burgers, he did the song, the cover, Sour Breath, but he was the engineer under Dan for a while, and that was pretty...
He does all the audio for Bob's Burgers now. Yeah. Like, the whole show. Yeah. That's yeah. cool.
My other friend, he did Sempiternal by Bring Me the Horizon. He actually did the audio for Good Burger. And then his mentor...
Wait, the television? Or the movie?
The movie, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So that's cool. I actually... I like that dude a lot. He actually mastered something I mixed recently.
Wow.
In the metal world. And the band didn't end up releasing it, and I was so pissed.
Wow.
They wanted to go back to their old producer and do, like, a... kind of an outdated sound, so yeah. it's like, all right, yeah. guys, go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys are going back to those, like, kind of boring roots, the safe route.
Yeah, the snare that sounds like a shotgun.
Yeah, that was the sound, dude. That was the 2000s right there.
2010s.
Yeah. Fucking
pow, pow, pow. Hold on, they're going to play a sample.
You got to do it, dude. Dude, that's real.
People were using this in their productions. It's ridiculous.
That's so bad, dude.
I know.
That's so bad.
2010 Rise Core.
I'll take it. I'll take it. Let's start a Rise Core band, dude.
Hell yeah. Heavily auto-tuned in the wrong key.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Not calling out any bands.
There's a lot. That's kind of who I was talking about of, like, Facebook advertisements. I'll click over to that shit all and just time, be like, dude. What the fuck?
That's what I want to steer away from.
Yeah.
I'm so scared of sounding like that. I found the best thing about writing music is just literally sitting there and just focusing on what's hurting you.
Yeah.
And you just let it out. And a lot of times you'll write it as a... How do you say that? Like, it just flow. It's like... It sounds disgusting, but it's like throwing up what you are going through.
Yeah.
A lot of times. It's like finally let it off. Like, you know, when you throw, you need to throw up and you throw up and your stomach feels so much
better. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm just going to gross some people out. But
no, dude, I... know,
it, that's...
I was boxing with my buddy the other day and he hadn't boxed. I mean, he hadn't done anything physical in a long time.
Oh, boy.
And, dude, he... Yeah, after ooh. About 20 minutes, like, he's in the corner puking. And I could tell he kind of wanted to stop, but I was like, dude, you feel better now. Like, you puked. You're good. You're good. Got it out.
Let's go.
We're good, baby.
Keep her rolling. I love boxing, but it's been so long. Yeah. I need to get into shape.
Dude, I feel the same way. That's why, smoking cigarettes. Oh, dude, that'll fuck you up, man. I stopped smoking joints recently, and, like, I found a decent dab hookup. So same. I was like, okay, sick. Like, I think I can.
I just tried a new dab rig last night. Really? Died. Dude. I was like, oh god. I was like, I'm gonna eat some ice cream, and then I just passed out.
Dude, the first time I ever got stoned, it was with my buddy Tony, and we were at his house, like 3 blocks away from here.
Tony, I think I know Tony. Was he in that band you were in?
Oh shit, yeah. I think so.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah, really long time ago. Yeah. Yeah, we smoked weed. I was in ninth grade, and dude, he had this carton of ice cream in his freezer, and I never had the munchies in my entire life, and I couldn't really feel the weed other than the munchies and how shit tasted. I was like, oh my gosh, like that was to me that defined it defined the entire experience was how the food tasted, and I was like, oh. But I remember taking this bite that was the biggest bite of ice cream I ever took, and it's like. I shoved the spoon in the cardboard carton, you know, and like popped it out, and it had like all the hard 90 degree edges on like the big hunk of ice cream, and just like shoved it in. It was just like paradise, dude. Paradise. Awesome. Yeah, dude. Sick. So we'll do the outro with whatever track you send me.
Cool.
So people, we'll have to edit
some parts up.
Yeah, we'll edit some, but tell people about the track.
I'm gonna show y'all a demo for a song I'm working on. I'm gonna show little bits and pieces. You will not get to hear the full song, and this is a demo. You know, people say not to do this, but
we're doing it, dude.
We're doing it. It sounds cool, and y'all need to know about it. So,
Logan, thanks for hanging out, dude.
Dude, thanks for having me.
Yeah, come back.
Hell yeah.
God bless. I medicate to feel nothing. The drip in my throat. The poison in my veins. Can't break these chains. The broken back in my aches. Broken back in my aches. My withdrawals of your love. I'm feeling like I'm falling away. How could you leave me? Take him. How could you take it all? You said I'd write you a song. Well, here's that song.